Have you ever been in a place in your life where maybe you were doing something you really loved, or there's something you knew you wanted to do that you'd feel would be very fulfilling, you felt was a call on your life, but circumstances maybe fell apart and you couldn't do that anymore? Maybe you had an injury or an illness and it prevented you from being able to do what you loved, or maybe you're dealing with that right now. I know I have had that happen to me, and it's hard to not think that your best days are behind you. And I just want to tell you that's not true. There is a powerful story I want to share with you today, and there's so many great applications, but I'm just going to bring out a couple of them. So you're going to want to stay around for those, because it's going to give you some tools of how you can put yourself in position to not necessarily go back to what you loved doing, but to really find fulfillment beyond that in ways that are better than anything you could ask or imagine, because that's the kind of God that we worship. So welcome to 1224 by Worship Transforms. We want to empower you to live your best life through biblical inspiration and through connecting to Jesus in at least 12 minutes of meditative worship. All right, what's so magic about 12 minutes? Well, research has shown that meditating on a good God, that part's super important, for at least 12 minutes, when especially connected with music, has the ability to create new neural pathways in your brain. That's new ways of thinking that align with the one that we're focusing on, that we're worshiping. And that means transformation, not just for your brain, but for your actions, for your circumstances, and for those around you. So we're going to do this little Devo first, and then we're going to jump in to that meditative worship part. And you're not going to want to miss that, because that's where the application really comes in. You'll see as we continue. So the story is about a man named Dwayne Miller. And this is a true story. He was a preacher doing what he loved to do. He'd always felt called to preach the word of God. And he did that at a church in Texas. He was the lead pastor. And he would speak several times during the week, not just in the main service, but also different Sunday schools, where he loved teaching the word of God. But he got this flu, and it attacked his vocal cords, and it basically strangled his voice to where he couldn't talk anymore. In fact, the laryngitis was so bad, he had to yell to get out just a little bit of like a dog of throat, kind of like this. Like, really, it was very severe. He saw 63 doctors over the next year. And during that time, they told him it was hopeless. They said, this is permanent damage. It's damaged not just your nerves, but the myelin sheath surrounding those nerves. And there's nothing that can be done. So he very sadly gave up his post at the church. Not because the church was required him to do that, but he knew it would be completely impractical for him to stay. So he did something really important, actually. He moved away to a church he had been in fellowship with before, with his family, and they lovingly wrapped their arms around him, and he stayed in community, stayed in fellowship with other believers, where he could keep his eyes fixed on the Lord, but he really missed teaching. And during that time, he also got very depressed and hopeless because, well, he felt like his purpose had left him. And yeah, well, one day they reached out to him, the Sunday school board. It was actually quite a large Sunday school group, about 200 people a week would meet there, and they asked him if he would be the substitute teacher, because their regular teacher was going to be gone for a few weeks, and he had no desire to do that. They were very aware of his infirmity and the fact that he couldn't talk, but they really had felt that call to invite him to do that. He tried to refuse, but they insisted, and he finally said yes. And that's one of the other applications that we want to say. Look, when you have an opportunity to do something, it doesn't seem like it makes sense, but you can tell it might be the Lord's invitation, that just say yes. Just say yes. You never know what that is going to lead to. In this case, he got up, and the prescribed passage that week that was a different curriculum, it wasn't his own curriculum, he was just stepping into it and teaching it, was based on Psalm 103. And he began to read it. And they actually had it recorded for the rest of the people that weren't going to be able to meet that week. And so I actually listened to the recording of this. It's amazing. And I just want to read to you just a little bit of what he read, and I'm going to tell you what happened. Psalm 103 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion." As Dwayne began to read that, he got to the part where he said, "who redeems your life from the pit." And he said that at that moment, it was like a loosening happened on his throat, and he could suddenly, like that stranglehold started to leave, and you could hear in the recording that his voice begins to get stronger and stronger. And as he continued reading that passage of scripture, his voice completely came back. It hadn't been that way for 6 years, and he began to weep. And the people in the Sunday school class begin to cheer. They are overwhelmed with what they have just witnessed. So amazing. Reading the Word of God, reading about his loving kindness and his compassion, reading about the fact that he heals all of our infirmities, that he crowns us with loving kindness, that he redeems our life from the pit. Look, whatever pit you might be in, it could be a pit of despair, it could be a pit of hopelessness, it could be a pit of confusion, it could be a pit of, I don't know the way forward, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to pursue the thing I believe God has put on my life. I want to tell you this: don't give up. Keep yourself in the Word. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Stay in the Word so you can be reminded of his faithfulness, and then meditate on it. Look, we're going to go into this time of meditation. You don't want to check out now. You want to stay here because we are going to sing his word. We're going to let it get into our hearts and our minds and our very beings. And you're going to want to come back to this more than once because you want it to get into your thinking, into your soul, because then it begins to transform you. And you know what? Even if you say, okay, it's just my mind, what about my body? Look, if your mind really understands more of who God is, your body starts to get in sync with your mind. So, Father, we thank you that your word is sure, your word is true, your word is real. Just like you healed Dwayne, just by simply him proclaiming the truth of your word. And even though his faith was not super strong at that moment, it began to grow as he spoke your word out loud. It's so important that we hear even our own words speaking who you are. So we turn our hearts and our minds to you, Jesus, and we thank you that we can count on you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you. me with
Faith up. Know that He is good and He's got you.